Last week, we focused on missions for Ministry Month. It's fitting that we would follow up a focus on missions with a focus on children's ministry, though it wasn't really intentional on our part, just the way that it worked out. But it's a fitting follow-up as we think about ministry to our covenant children, particularly in Reformed circles. We recognize that the raising of covenant children in the faith is one important way of fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus calls us to make disciples, teaching them to obey, and that's certainly true of our children. Therefore, children's ministry is not mere child's play. It's not an insignificant time filler ministry that gives parents a break, but rather children's ministry is gospel ministry. That's what I want to focus on today. Reverend Joel Beakey makes this point in a wonderful little book titled Bringing the Gospel to Covenant Children. He says, church growth books and manuals flood the market. Surprisingly few address internal growth through the Holy Spirit sovereignly blessing the raising of children in covenantal truth. Yet historically, Reformed Christians have acknowledged that their most solid, genuine church growth has been through the conversion of youth reared in the church. He goes on to say, Spurgeon wrote, my conviction is that converts from among children are among the very best we have. I should judge them to have been more numerously genuine than any other class, more constant, and in the long run, more solid. As we think about children's ministry this morning, I want to take us to a passage from the often neglected Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, where we're reminded just how significant is God's call to teach our children the things of God. And so I invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Our passage this morning is verses 1 through 10, and I invite you, if you're able, to stand for the reading of God's holy word. We stand in honor of God. He says to us, records these words, and now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all still alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering it to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord, your God, at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray as always that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear what you have for us in these words so recorded so long ago, but given to us by you. Father, teach us from them and through them draw us to deeper faith in Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to clarify at the beginning what I mean by children's ministry, because I'm using that term not in the narrow sense this morning to only mean church-based ministry to children, like church, school, GEMS, cadets. It includes that. But when I use the term children's ministry this morning, I'm using it in a much broader sense that includes all the ways that God calls us to nurture our children in the faith. So that includes parents in the context of home, teaching our children. That includes what we do here at church, as well as Christian schooling or homeschooling, wherever it is that we're teaching our kids the things of God. And so having clarified that definition from this passage, I want to highlight three important observations that we can make about ministry to children. First, consider with me the role of children's ministry. And again, I'm using that in that broad sense. Let's first understand the context of our passage in Deuteronomy 4. The book of Deuteronomy is essentially a collection of farewell sermons given by Moses to the Israelites just prior to his death and prior to their entrance into the Promised Land. They were given east of the Jordan River on the plains of Moab, looking over across the river into the land of Canaan, into the Promised Land. And so there's a map. You'll see a map on the screen. See my little binoculars there. Looking over into the Promised Land, Moses gives these farewell sermons to the second generation of the people of Israel. As you recall, Moses was not allowed to enter into the Promised Land along with the first generation of people who came out of Egypt for their hard hearts. And so Moses gives these farewell sermons to remind the second generation of God's people all that the Lord had done for them, so that when they entered into the land of promise and began to settle down, they would remember the Lord their God and would faithfully serve him all the days of their life. Despite popular opinion, the book of Deuteronomy is not a dull book of laws. It is about the law of God. In fact, the name Deuteronomy means second law or second giving of the law, because it repeats the Ten Commandments. But it's not a dull book of laws. Rather, it is a book that's filled with passion and heart. I would argue that the book of Deuteronomy is for the Old Testament what the book of Romans is for the New Testament, because it sets the theological foundation for God's people to live in right relationship with their Redeemer. Deuteronomy 4, the chapter that we're looking at this morning, is the introduction to the first sermon that Moses gives, or first address that he gives. The first three chapters of Deuteronomy, he just recounts the history of the wilderness wanderings, those 40 years. And then in chapter 4, Moses begins to lay out the point to the people of God. And so with that understood, look at verse 1. We see the main theme of Moses' message is this: God's people are called to joyful obedience. Verse 1, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, that and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." In other words, he says, God has given us instructions as to how we can live to glorify him and enjoy him forever, to use a popular phrase from the Westminster Confession. Moses calls God's people to walk in obedience to God because he has redeemed them. He has saved them. They're called to walk in the obedience of faith. Okay, so that's the general theme of what Moses is getting at in this message. It's a call to joyful obedience to their Redeemer. But jump down to verse 9 with me and notice what Moses says, or what he includes in this call to obedience. "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Now, it's just one little line. It would be easy for us to think that, well, maybe it's not all that significant. But it turns out that this is a huge and repeated theme throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Let me just highlight it for you briefly. Hopefully you can see those verses. We see just an emphasis on the need to instruct our children in the faith. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Teach them diligently to your children. Later in chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, when your son asks you in time, you shall say to your son what God has done. Deuteronomy 11, verse 19, you shall teach them to your children. Chapter 31, verse 13, and that their children who have not known may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God. Chapter 32, verse 7, ask your father and he will show you, your elders, that, and they will tell you. We see this repeated emphasis on the need to minister to our children, to teach them the things of God. And while such statements like this are not quite so clearly seen in the New Testament, without a doubt, the theme of this teaching, the things of God to our children, is an important part of the background to statements like these that we read from Christ himself and the apostles. Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. In his sermon in Acts 2, Peter addresses the crowd, calling them, how do we respond to these things? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children. From this, we see that God places a high value on the instruction of our children in the faith. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's not just convenient for parents, but it's the call to teach our children has a significant place in the community of faith. And again, that includes the home and the church, and wherever else we're taught the things of God. And so seeing the important role of children's ministry, let's see through Moses' words what we can learn also about the goal of children's ministry. That's the second overall point, the goal of children's ministry. Since Moses says, essentially in verse 9, teach your children the things that you've learned, it's safe to say that all of the goals or purposes that Moses intended for the adults is also what should be the goal they have in teaching these truths to their children. And so what goals do we see here in Deuteronomy 4? Well, we need to parse this out a little bit because there are several goals that we can discern from these words. The first goal is this, that they may live well. Verse 1, listen to the statutes and rules that I'm teaching you and do them that you may live, that you may live well. We teach our children the things of God because they're true, of course, but also because God's ways are the best way to live. God gave guidelines, laws, and boundaries to his people because he knows what's best for us. And so to live for God or live in the ways of God is to live well. But there's a closely related reason to this first reason. We can add to this, we teach our children also that they may avoid harm. I get this from verses 2 through 4, where Moses points the people back to something that happened earlier. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. What had happened had to do with the deceptive activity of a pagan prophet named Balaam. Trust that you remember that story. Balaam was hired by the king of Moab to call down curses upon people of Israel who were passing through his land. The story is told in the book of Numbers, chapters 22 to 25. The Lord prevented, however, Balaam from pronouncing curses upon Israel and only allowed him to pronounce blessings. But Balaam wanted to get paid still. And so he advised the king of Moab a way to work around these blessings of God. His instructions were to entice the people of Israel to idolatry, and that's exactly what the king of Moab did, and Israel sinned, engaged in idolatry. And so Moses is saying to now this second generation who remain You need to keep God's words and commands near so that you do not fall in the same way that your parents and grandparents did. By walking in obedience to God, trusting in God's word, by following him, you avoid many dangers. Why should we be careful to listen to what God teaches us in his word? I think Psalm 119 sums it up very well. Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Friends, sin is destructive. Whenever we ignore God's commands and God's ways, it always brings pain and heartache. Always. Maybe not immediately, but our sin has a way of catching up to us. And so one of the reasons why we ought to value the training up of our children, the raising them in the faith, is that by God's grace, they might avoid having to experience some of those deeper, more painful, damaging experiences that come from ignoring God's words. Of course, we're all sinners in need of grace. None of us are perfect. We all fall in many ways and stumble. But Lord willing, we don't have to fall. Our children don't have to experience the depth of the pain that's caused by sin. And so that's another reason. A third reason is this, that they may have godly wisdom. Verse 6, keep them and do them so that that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples. In other words, we teach them to know the things of God so that they might know who God is and see the wisdom of walking with him. Or we might say they might become wise unto the way of salvation. Now, surely there are other things that we could add to this list, and I know I've sort of glossed over each of those. These are a good set of reasons why we are to teach our kids at home, at church, at school, why we should emphasize scriptures with our children. But all of these are good goals, but they really are secondary goals. For there is one primary goal that Moses has in mind in the book of Deuteronomy, and that is this, that they may walk in true faith. That they may believe. For this, we actually need to go beyond Deuteronomy 4. The book of Deuteronomy gets a bad rap because we assume that it's all about the law. Keep the commands. Obey the law. Do, 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 do. And the truth is that while obedience to God is needed, there is something else that is needed more. Or first. And so I want to give you, people of God, two encouragements this morning. One, don't make the mistake of thinking that the New Testament loosens God's expectations for us to walk in obedience. It doesn't. Just because we're saved by grace in Christ doesn't mean that God doesn't call us to obedience. We're called to walk in obedience to Christ, not for the sake of our salvation, but in response to what God has done for us. The New Testament doesn't loosen God's demands that we walk in holiness. It's constantly calling us to turn away from our sin. But the second encouragement I would give you this morning is this. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the Old Testament was only concerned about outward obedience and not inward faith or trust in God and his promises. That would be a huge mistake. Because the primary goal of Moses' instruction was not to produce obedient little Pharisees who obeyed the letter of the law. Rather, the goal was to raise up a people who trusted God by faith and lived accordingly. There are two key passages in the book of Deuteronomy that make this clear. And it's, as Moses gives these addresses to the people, he wants to make sure that they understand. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's what's, all of these calls to obedience, that's what's what they're wrapped up in. You shall love the Lord your God who has saved you, who has redeemed you. And we see this again in Deuteronomy 10, verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the word therefore is pointing back to all of the commands that Moses has highlighted, all of these statutes that God has given. Therefore, in light of these, circumcise the foreskin of what? Your heart. And be no longer stubborn. What is he saying? He's saying, believe God. Trust in his promises. He's calling them to faith. The obedience that Moses calls the people to in the book of Deuteronomy is nothing less than the obedience of faith which comes to us by God's grace. The goal of teaching our children is that they might believe and trust Christ by faith. Now, in a sense, that's not something we can do for them. We can't make them believe. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of our children. Again, Reverend Beakey writes in that same book I referenced earlier, without the Spirit's sovereign saving work, all our efforts to raise our children covenantally will do no more than produce Pharisees on the one hand or rebels on the other. Baptized children must be directed to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice as the only way of salvation. What is he saying? He's saying, we're saved by faith. That's why Reverend Beakey titles the book, Bringing the Gospel to Covenant Children, to church children. We can teach them what God says. We can teach them all about how we are to live, but the goal of teaching, in hearing God's word taught and read, is that they would be drawn to trust in Christ by faith. Our outward obedience will not save us. It will not. And so if our instruction of children only focuses on the do's and don'ts of the Christian life, but never points them to their need for salvation in Christ, then we have missed the point. And so I want to talk to our boys and girls, our tweens and teens this morning. Please hear this and know this. We love the Bible here at First Church, don't we? We strive to faithfully teach it and preach it. And we want you to know God's word. We want you to love God's word just as we love God's word. But the reason why we do all of this, the reason why we have church school and GEMS and cadets and so on, is not just so that you would know what the Bible says. More than that, we do it because we want you to know Jesus and love Jesus and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because that's what you need, and that's what I need. That's what we all need. We need to know that Jesus died to save us, that he's our Lord and Savior. Teachers and leaders, let that be an encouragement to you as you go about the work that the Lord has called you to do. What you're doing is of massive importance. You're not just teaching Bible stories or playing games. You are presenting Christ to our children. And our prayer is that in doing so, our sons and daughters would see their need for Jesus and look to him. And parents, the same is true for us. As we read the Bible with our kids, as we do family devotions, engage in family worship. It's easy to do these things sort of mindlessly, but we need to remember the Spirit of God is at work in the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that the Spirit draws us to faith in Christ, grants us faith, And so we need to pray for our children, not just to understand the Bible, but to believe, to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the goal. That's why we do what we do here. And that leads to one final brief point that I'm calling the soul of children's ministry. I struggled with how to word this last point, so I just took the word from verse 9. Listen to what Moses says. Only take care and keep your soul diligently. Now, I want to be clear that the heart and soul, if we want to use the phrase in that way, the heart and soul of children's ministry obviously is Christ. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. But Moses uses the word soul in another important way that we need to remember this morning. He says to God's people, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. The Apostle Paul says something very similar in Acts 20 when he's giving his farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Paul's about to go to Jerusalem, and he knows that he's going to be arrested there. And he wants to impress upon these brothers who he has served with. And this is what he says to them. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so my question is this, why do both Moses and Paul make this point? I think it's for this reason. Because we cannot teach others what we do not have ourselves. I'm convinced that by God's design, one of the most important things that we can do for our children, next to the primary thing, which is faithfully teaching them the Word of God, praying that the Spirit would work through the Word, but the next, under that, the best thing that we can give our children is for them to see in us what it looks like to walk with genuine faith in Christ. Pay careful attention to yourselves. Diligently keep your soul. Perhaps we need to be renewed in this way this morning. Just as Moses was calling Israel to be renewed in their covenant relationship with God as they stood at the edge of the promised land, in the same way, maybe we need to be renewed in our commitment to the Lord this morning. As Eric mentioned, next Lord's Day we have the joy of celebrating the Lord's Supper. Scripture calls us to examine ourselves before we come to the table. And so I want to conclude this message with a call to do just that as we anticipate the celebration of the Lord's Supper next week. And so some points of application or thought for us to consider this morning. Would you describe your walk with Christ as it is right now as a living, vibrant walk? Or has it become mere mundane obedience with little heart, little love, little joy? Are we more concerned to teach our children the rules of God but overlook the faith God requires? Let's go to the Lord this morning in a time of prayer, asking Him to renew us, that we would remember and believe what an amazing reality it is to know that the God of the universe, through Christ, has come near to us. And let us learn once again to walk in faith in our great Redeemer who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's spend some time in prayer this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God Almighty, given the truth of the assurance of salvation we have in Christ, secured for us by Jesus through the cross, given that reality, the greatest danger to our souls this morning is not that we would lose our salvation, for you tell us that you will lose none of all who belong to you. But rather, the greatest danger, perhaps, is that, like Israel, our love would grow cold, that we would forget all that you've done for us. And in forgetting, we would lose sight of the urgency of the need for our children to hear and know the things of God. And so we confess this morning that we all, Father, all of us, need to be reminded of the gospel. We all need to set our eyes on what you have done for us in Jesus. Not only so that we might walk by faith, but also that the next generation would see and hear and believe as well. So, Father, we need to be renewed this morning. We thank you that by your gracious design, you've given us a regular reminder of the gospel every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, where we are reminded of our need of a Savior and how you have graciously given us one in Christ. As we prepare to come to the table next week, Lord, we pray that we would be filled with a renewed love and devotion to you, so that in all of our lives we may walk by faith and trust in you, our great Redeemer, our Lord, and our God. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.